Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
Right, everybody. Thanks you so much for that, Mary. I tell you, she was good for that, wasn't she? That's a great little segment she did for us there. I think Mary's now in the UK, everybody. I don't think she ever made it back to Saudi Arabia. But anyways, thanks so much for that, Mary from Riyadh. This is The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, September the 17th, I believe, as we change times from your place to my place. And a good Thursday afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Now, it's been quite a nice day here in Riyadh as daytime highs hit 71 degrees under sunny skies as nightfall fell. It did cool off a little bit quick. It felt a little biting, but certainly nothing to complain about. Air quality, however, has turned up a bit poor, though, with widespread dust in the air while local winds are sitting around 9 miles per hour out of the north. The current temperature at just after 2 o'clock in the morning is 47 degrees, and we will be going down to a low of 41 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Now, just sitting down to prepare. By the way, I just want to go to Jordan real quick, everybody. I was obviously I'm still in touch with Jordan. I've got Emily is now in the Philippines. She's having a great time on her vacation. Well earned, by the way. She has not been and seen any of her family for, believe it or not, 12 years. It's very difficult sometimes to become an expat. Sometimes you get a little bit. I don't know, dude. Everything seemed fine earlier today. I don't know. Settings look fine. You say that your settings are not good. We hear you, but you sound different. Check your settings. I'll tell you, I don't know. Maybe I'll just cancel this and go over to a different service here. You know what we're doing, folks? We are using a Microsoft Web Preview, a different Microsoft Skype service, and then we're going through a mixing board, an online mixing board. And I'm hearing already, which is really disappointing to hear, that we don't sound very good. And I don't know why that would be. I just don't know why that would be. I did a sound check about an hour ago, and everything was just fine. Everybody said fine. But I guess going out over air, maybe it's just not as convenient here. And if that's the case, guys, we will drop this setup and go to a different setup. Anyways, yeah, I'm going to go to the chat room real quick. Let's try to get this cleared up. We have a guest today, everybody. And with the guest, Mike King, he's from the Tomato Bubble. He's going to be coming on in hour number two. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make my way over to the chat room right now and check with the chat room. Also see if that is all confirmed, that it is sounding funny. If it is, we will change and break down this setup and go to a different laptop, everybody. We don't want you to suffer through 2 hours of media that just doesn't sound good. So Inside the Eye Live is the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button and that will get you in the door. Or you can go to Inside the Eye Live, InsideTheEyeLive.com underscore live chat, and that should work. And so I am now pulling that page up. It is now open, everybody. And let's see here. Guys, how's the sound? It's the EQ, Fetch. It's the EQ. I'm not sure the EQ is even running, guys. Everything looks fine. Let's see here. Menu. Everything looks fine. I'm not running EQ to the best of my knowledge. Let's see. EQ, EQ, EQ. I'm looking. I'm not sure I'm even using any EQ on this thing. Let's see here, because we engineered this to accept phone calls, everybody. Sorry about this to get the show going. I'll tell you. But what's different, everybody? I'll have to go back and listen to it after the show here and just deal with it for this show. Right now, the telephone lines are open. What you can try to do just to have fun tonight, folks, is test the telephone lines. We've engineered something with the telephone lines. It's inside the iLive.com. That's inside the iLive.com. Take that back. The telephone lines, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. And that will test out the lines here. Anyways, I don't know what to tell you. You guys have just screwed up my entire timing to the show. I don't know, but we're going to try to get through it now. Let's see. It is Thursday afternoon. It's actually Friday morning here, early Friday morning here in Saudi Arabia. Again, it's kind of chilly outside and just kind of chilly. I mean, it's not cold, but it's cold enough to shut windows. Now, obviously, it's nothing like I'm seeing. You know, when I was sitting down to prepare for the show today, I'm thinking, wow, nice day here in Jordan. They had snow throughout part of the day in certain the higher elevations. They had about 3 to 5 inches of snow drop down on like the book and where the king and the queen, not the king and the queen. Ah, there's Vera. All right, let's see if we can add this call now. Hello, Vera. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi. Guess what it sounds like, Pat? It sounds a little bit like you've got a bit of a cold.
Well, I do that. I do that.
But when you messed around after they told you to do something, it did sound worse.
It sounded worse. So yeah, put it back to where it was, huh?
It sounds like you got a bit of a head cold.
Okay, is this fine now?
It seems to me okay. I got the computer on, but I can't have it on loud.
It sounds good live just through here. So the problem is going out over the codecs, I think, to Skype to the studio.
You sound good over the phone even to me right now.
Exactly, yeah. When we do the sound check, so it's got to be something going out now to the studio with this new arrangement. Because we sound fine. When we go direct to everybody, we sound fine.
I want to tell you, remember you were saying about people listening and them not showing that there's been another view or whatever? I listened to one, I think three or four times, and I listened to it to the end, and it did not add on anything. It stayed at zero, so I thought... That's why I did it several times, right? And so they are on some, they're adding on, and some they're not. You know? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just trying to think what to do, you know, what to do.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out now what to do. Should I change computers and see what happens? Because when I go direct with you, it sounds fine.
Yeah, you sound good to me.
And people are complaining about echo a lot into this thing.
Yes, now I hear echo on the computer. And me, too. I'm echoing right now. Okay, anyways, I'll let you go.
Oh, man, this is going to... All right, guys, I'm going to mail in the show. See you guys next week. It'll be a fast show.
No, it'll be a fast show.
I hate to give you guys, like, 2 hours of really crappy audio. That's just not like what we do here. What I'm going to have to do, I think, is we'll probably have to do another session with our sound engineers and try to test this thing over another type of network. But for some reason, you guys are complaining that it doesn't sound good. So that's not a great thing.
Yeah, it might be worse because I'm on the line too, because there's a little bit of echo. Anyways, okay, I'll let you go, Fetch.
Okay, thanks.
Take care and get rid of your cold.
But at least we got the phone. Hey, at least we got the phones working. I'm not sick. I just got a little bit stuffy, everybody. I'm not really sick. But see, we got the phones to work. Okay, give us a little credit there. We did get the phones to work, but there's something as to what is going on here with this system. Obviously, that is not so good here. So I'm not sure what to do about that. You know what I mean? It's really, we wanted to get the telephone lines open for you guys. So we re-engineered something. I got another call coming in. This is good. We're going to be sound engineer checking this for the first hour before Michael King goes back. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch, just keep going, buddy. The fidelity is fine. It's just a tone thing. And it's not annoying. It's just different. So just go.
Okay, guys, you got me self-conscious here.
The fidelity is good. Okay.
Where is the tone? It's just because I had different bass or something.
It's a little mid-rangey or something, but I'll tell you, I prefer it to the normally on a weekly basis. It's really bassy. It's woofy, and you're putting out a lot of energy to recreate those bass frequencies that most people can't even hear on a little computer. So on my system, because I'm hooked into my stereo, my old school stereo at home, I hear all this woofiness, and I, of course I can roll it out on my EQ. I just roll it all out, and then it doesn't bear down on my ears. But today it's just a little mid-rangey or something, but it's not unlistenable, and the fidelity is clean. So just let's go, let's have a show, and good luck.
Thank you so much for that. Guys, I like that call. So apparently you guys have just gotten used to one voice, and we'll try to recreate that for you. And everyone's gotten used to it. All right, now here we go. We're going to try to roll here. You know, we were sitting down to make the show. Okay, I called home to Jordan this week, and I'm like checking out what's going on today. And I'm busy, obviously, with work here. So while I'm sitting there trying to get things done at work, I get a bunch of pictures coming in from Jordan today, some beautiful snow. And the snow just looks fantastic, you know. And I called home and I said, hey, do you have any snow at the house? And the girl, she's got one eye on her lap. That's for the cat report. But she's got one eye and Bruiser. They're all snuggled up inside the house because it's cold in Jordan right now. Not like you guys in America, but it's cold, you know. And everyone's just like freezing. And they got some snow today at my house. That's kind of exciting. Didn't last long. Melted about an hour, half an hour, something like that. So basically just kind of dusted everything and melted. But again, in the higher elevations, it's really, really cool. But then I started to do a little research quickly to get the show going today. And I'm like, wow, there is a ton, or there are a ton. Should I say there are a ton? I forget my English now. There are a ton. There are many. Really severe weather events going on out there. One of those is in Germany and Austria. They've been battling some really, really, really heavy snows in the southern part. Of course, that's southern part of Germany and Austria. A lot of heavy stuff. They're calling it Schnee Chaos. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but it's snow chaos in English. So they've really been having a big time. A lot of threats of avalanches. They're trying to clear out one town, Berchtesgaden. We've all heard of Berchtesgaden. Yesterday, roughly 260 citizens in a village of Raetan in the region of Traunstein near the Austrian border were actually forced to leave their town because of possible avalanches. And in Berchtesgaden, again, in the Bavarian Alps near the Austrian border, 1,500 German armed forces were actually deployed to clear the roofs of snow and deliver supplies to the various citizens there, because they've actually been now officially cut off from the outside world. Meanwhile, over in my home state my prior home state of California, heavy rain, snow, and wind pummeled much of the California area, causing at least 5 deaths, leaving thousands of people without power and forcing wildfire victims threatened by floods to further, again, flee their homes. Now, Southern California's Santa Anita Park, if you've ever been to Santa Anita, if you've ever been to Southern California, you know that right there in the middle of the San Gabriel Valley is a very expensive, quite frankly, but beautiful town called Arcadia. And in this place is something known as Santa Anita Park. And Santa Anita Park is just one of these very beautiful places where you actually can go and watch horse racing. I've been there many times myself. They actually closed it today. They had 3.5 inches of rain today, so that was actually shut down due to rain. That doesn't happen. Usually, man, they slog it out no matter what, but I guess the track is just so bad they couldn't do anything. California, as you know, if you follow the show a little bit, they've had a lot of drought. Heavy drought in California. So there is something known as the U.S. Drought Monitor. It is still operational, even with the government shutdown. Apparently, it's still operating. They're reporting that there are improved conditions now in California after a series of storms over the past couple of weeks. The update released this morning shows that just over 92% of the state ranges from abnormally dry to some level of drought, mostly of a moderate intensity. So it's becoming much more improved now in California. Extreme drought is now limited to a very small area just south of the Oregon border. Now, at the start of the year, that designation had actually applied to parts of Santa Barbara and Ventura counties, which is west of Los Angeles, equally. But those areas are now at lower drought levels. Again, California has been hammered by rain and snow, but it's now leaving California and heading east. And there's a blockbuster winter storm taking aim towards the eastern part of the United States, where as much as 40 inches of snow could fall by this coming weekend. Now, road travel may be impossible due to the heavy snow. And of course, flight delays and cancellations are most likely to be exponential. Haven't looked into the actual details, but I have seen many different stories now of airlines canceling the fees for flight cancellations and things of that nature. So that's always a good thing. Now, after the storm heads offshore on Sunday over the weekend, then you're going to get hit on the eastern side of the United States and in the Midwest, Mid-Atlantic, with an intense cold wave, which is basically going to be an Arctic blast coming from behind, basically following this storm. And that is going to bring below freezing temperatures to 200 million people in the United States, if you can imagine that. 200 million people. That's, of course, global warming for you. So now, as the storm and it passes, and then you got all that water that's kind of out there, there's also the risk of intense flash freezing. A lot of flash freezing going on, which is going to turn the water almost to instant ice. And if that happens, you've got a lot of serious, dangerous, slippery conditions out there. So everybody listening here on the East Coast and in the Midwest, kind of thinking about you, man. I'll be watching. I'm a weather geek a little bit, so I'll be watching what's going on. Now, Friday, tomorrow, the heaviest snow will be hitting South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Kansas, Missouri, and Iowa. And all of those Somali immigrants are going to say, thank goodness Americans knew how to prepare, because we would never have known what to do with this weather. Then the storm is going to wind up and roar into, again, of course, Northeast and New England on Saturday and Sunday, where the heaviest snow is expected to fall in that area. Again, 40 inches in northern New England, while close to 30 inches of snow are going to fall on parts of central and northern New York State and the northern tier of Pennsylvania. So it's really going to be a tough, tough week beginning really today. It's probably already starting to affect some of you, and then going on into the weekend. Now, back to geopolitical stuff and some kind of fun stuff. You know, I'm watching the United States a little bit, obviously, here from Saudi Arabia. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, you got the government shut down. People here in Saudi Arabia are not following this issue. It's not yet on their radar screen. It's not something people are asking me about, if you know what I mean. They might ask me, do you like Trump? Trump, good. You know, like that. But there's nothing about the United States government shutdown. But what happened was Wednesday, yesterday, Nancy Pelosi, she's, of course, a Jew, a House Speaker. She asked the president to postpone his January 29th State of the Union address until after the end of the government shutdown. And she was citing security concerns caused by the fact that neither the U.S. Secret Service or Department of Homeland Security had been funded for nearly a month. Now, the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, I forget her name, she's already come back and said, hey, You know, why doesn't she call us first before she releases this off-the-cuff, basically manure-mouth crap that she's been putting out there? You know, but Nancy Pelosi is a Jewish lady. I mean, at the end of the day, she's a Jewish lady. She's thinking only about Jewish interests. She doesn't care. And I'm like, you know what? How can you be sitting there being the Speaker of the House and you're going to cancel the State of the Union address right in your own home capital in Washington, D.C.? And you know what, Miss Pelosi? You're able to walk out on the streets everywhere you want. You can go anywhere you want. You're not under any threat from any Americans. Perhaps one day you will be. But right now, you're free to walk. Don't tell us that the American people are a threat to you, morons, because we're not yet. We're not a threat to the American. You're telling us, the American people, that we are a threat to our government right now? Nah, we ain't there yet. Come on, Nancy. I know you're trying to bring it to that level, but we're not there yet, Nancy. And then you're sitting there trying to tell us, oh, cancel because of security concerns. Well, you got to love Trump. Seriously, you got to love Trump. Nancy Pelosi, and maybe you've heard this story already, but if you haven't, I'm going to just tell it anyways. Nancy Pelosi and her entourage, they decided to basically get out of Dodge, and they're going to fly off to Afghanistan during this period. And they're going to go meet with the troops in Afghanistan. Well, first of all, what's Nancy Pelosi got to do with anything about foreign policy going to visit the troops in Afghanistan? Seriously. You've got a government shutdown. You don't have money. And you want to fly. Oh, we're going into a break here. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live. Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. Again, listener sponsored and supported radio does rely upon your generous donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. Again, nothing is free out there. I know I've been spending a lot of time and effort trying to get the telephones to work again. Now, we have got them to work thanks to Paul English, quite frankly, over at Eurofolk Radio. He's generously helped here. He's actually also told me that something didn't quite sound right. So we're going to go back, honestly, after the show and try to engineer this when I can get Paul on the line and try to put something together. But nonetheless, folks, it does take money to run this stuff. Don't forget to keep the network and your thoughts. Make sure you keep that platform up and running. So what you want to do is donate what you can over at revolution.radio. That's at revolution.radio. And of course, you can always, you know, just revolution.radio, man. That's all I can say. Again, we do our best with the technology and the support that we have. And we would definitely like you to once again make sure that you can keep our network alive, up and running. And without your help, we really are not able to do much of anything. The Inside the Eye Cat Report is proudly sponsored by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. That's friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. And again, for any of your IT needs to get your websites optimized, you can always send me an email to thefetchitinsidetheeyelive.com. And don't forget to buy Zap Hopper a cup of coffee. I don't know if you guys have been following the drama over at grism.blogspot.com, but I was dragged into some drama this week by the people over at Renegade. I was so sad. No, actually, I'm going to be responding. I was basically, my reputation was trashed pretty much by, in a very subtle but not so subtle way, by the Kyle and Cackle show over there. So I'm gonna actually be responding to that, because quite frankly, it wasn't just hitting below the belt. It was hitting like well below the belt, and it was actually lacked a huge amount of integrity in the way it was done, and especially with all the support I've given people behind the scenes. So nonetheless, guys, watch out for that. Grisms is a little bit of turmoil right now. You will not be catching Renegade Broadcasting anymore at grism.blogspot.com. That's for sure, at least not for the foreseeable future. But it's been a lot of drama the past week and a half through the distribution network chain. But where everybody's flying just fine. Everybody's moving along except for the Renegade franchise. The rest of us are moving along just fine. And but we thought we'd just kind of share that with you. Something's been brewing all week over there. And if you're not aware of it, well, it's okay. You probably don't need to know. But nonetheless, we'll be responding to that. Let's see. The cat's kind of cool, basically, is just one eye. Not so much Bruiser, but one eye. You know, one eye is like an interesting cat because he's only only friendly per se to myself and to Emily. The other girl that's been living with us, he never goes to her. Quite frankly, he never bothers. If I'm home, he's with me. Actually, he's with Emily now, too. But if Emily's home, obviously he's with her, but never with the girl that stays at my house that's helping to take care of the house right now. And I thought, wow, that's weird. And so what happened was I'm not there. Emily's not there. And it's cold in Jordan right now. Seriously, my house is cold. I mean, at the end of the day, it's cold. It's below 60. You know, it's like 58, 57 inside the house. It's hard to keep heat in because it's not insulated. It's just the way the construction is. So it gets very cold. The space heaters will keep you warm, but within 10 minutes of turning the space heater off, it's cold. So One Eye has basically taken to just sitting in our housekeeper's lap. Literally, he just doesn't want to move. He's like, no way, not. You're warm. I'm staying right here. And of course, she's like, not minding either because he's warm. So you know what? It's just one thing to remember. The pets are a great thing to have when it's cold, man, because they can like sit in your lap, keep you warm a little bit while you kind of like not suffer a bit, but commiserate a little bit, I guess you could say. But it's been a lot of fun watching the pictures coming out of Jordan, because apparently I've been told that One Eye goes out, he goes to the bathroom right now, and he's back like within 5 minutes, man. It's like, no way, man, I'm coming right back. And he ain't staying out, man. It's cold, windy, snowy, rainy. And he's like, no, I'll do my bathroom thing, but I'm back in the house, man. Open the freaking door. Spikers is still hanging out, man. Spikers still hangs out on the porch. We have built a little house for him, quite frankly, and he's got his friend Blackie. So they're still there. I said, hey, is Spiker still there? He says, oh, yeah, he's there. Every day I feed him and take care of him, he stays inside his house because it's cold, wet, and rainy. So he's actually staying inside the house. And I guess that little house helps keep him warm with his friends. So that's a good thing for the cats. You know, it's always nice to do good things for the little ones out there, everybody. And of course, I'm very good about that. So that is the I Tell Cat Report again, proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. It's actually sponsored by Friends of Grism.blogspot.com, where drama is never but a click away. Something like that. Let's see here. Going and moving forward is, of course, it's time for
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another show.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
It's owned by Dougie.
It's very goddamn angry.
That sounds like
you.
I thrive on boy
of years. Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored, features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored, is now available from Andy himself at AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
And this week's Oy vey moment is coming to us from an unlikely place, at least relative to the Oy vey moment, and that's Malaysia. By the way, first of all, I just want to comment real quick about this comment. Someone says, did I know in the chat room that Kyle is on the Oy vey moment? Actually, no, I didn't. I didn't know that. But one thing I've always said, Kyle, by the way, I just want to get this clear up and real quick before I get into the Oy vey moment. Like, Kyle is a talent. The problem is that, quite frankly, it's toxic. It's become toxic. I'm not sure what's happened over that franchise, but I did not know that, quite frankly. I did not know that. So I know there's a story, Blackbird. I'd like to talk to you, Blackbird, a little bit. I was not very happy what I heard about over at lately, what they've been doing with pretty much everybody, you, me, everybody else that's in this alternative media. It was really an embarrassing display, quite frankly, from people within this movement that we saw unfold this week over at Renegade Broadcasting. And it's been in the making for a long time. We've seen it. We've tried to avoid them. We've always talked highly about them. And if he's on the OFA moments, because, well, hey, it's good. There is a talent there. But I did not know that. So I did not know that. What else was we going to say? Now, we're going to go over quickly to Malaysia. Malaysia. And what this is that there are something known as the Paralympic Games. And perhaps you've heard about them. But the Paralympics is essentially dealing with handicapped people who are out there really making the best of their handicap, getting into sports and doing what they can do to show off what they're able to do as handicapped people. And all that's really great. I'm all for the Paralympics. I think it's a great thing. And what's happened now is today Malaysia has banned the Israeli participation in an international sporting event that it hosts and said, and basically, but the Israelis again are popping off. Again, there's no reason, quite frankly, to allow a genocidal nation like the Israelis, a genocidal people like the Israelis to come visit your country. Quite frankly, our country should be keeping Israelis and Jews out of our country. After 9/11, there should be no more hands off. Everything should be taken off the table here. But Malaysia, which is again, whether or not it's a majority Muslim or not, to me, it doesn't matter. It is a majority Muslim country. It does not maintain diplomatic relations with Israel. So I'm kind of curious why the Israelis today went live with the story calling Malaysia, quote unquote, anti-Semitic. Are these guys morons or what? Guys, there's no diplomatic relations between your fake country, because it's basically a fake country. You don't even have a border. You don't have a constitution, guys. You're not a country in the truest sense of the word. Countries that do not recognize Israel, quite frankly, are doing the right thing morally and via international law. Seriously, any country that recognizes the state of Israel, when you really break it down, is completely tone deaf to international law. When Israel was created, folks, they promised certain guarantees to all the people that lived within that area. And they completely violated within like, basically after the paper was signed, before the ink even dried, they were violating this, which tells you that the Israelis and the Jewish, global Jewish, international Jewish power, international Zionists, whatever you want to call it, they negotiated in bad faith, and that is called fraud. The entire idea of Israel was founded upon fraud. They never, ever intended to honor what they promised you. Israel is a fraudulent entity from a very practical legal perception. Furthermore, there is no, again, no diplomatic relations going now between Malaysia and Israel. So Israel has absolutely zero right to be expected to go to any games there. Furthermore, they should not be complaining that they're not inviting. They don't have any relations to even allow them to technically get in the country. There are issues like visas and a whole bunch of other issues that go on into this. It has nothing to do with rabid anti-Semitism. Boo-hoo, you morons. It's a diplomatic issue. You don't have diplomatic relations with Malaysia. Go eat some stuffed pie or something, or choke on some gefilte fish, but quit whining to us. Because quite frankly, you don't even have ties, guys. Now, in a statement, Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman Emmanuel Nashon called on the International Paralympic Committee, which is organizing the competition, to change the venue if it cannot persuade Malaysia to lift the edict. Well, no. Quite frankly, the global powers that we are out there, we should just tell the Israelis, sorry. But with all due respect, you're not welcome. And if you want to call it Jewish or racist or anti-Semitic, again, go pound some turkey, choke on a gefilte fish. I don't care. Seriously, I don't care anymore. I'm that serious. I'm that clear in what I think about the Israeli people. I have seen them commit so many crimes, commit so many cruelties against just people of average, just people. Come on. The Israelis, folks, seriously, the Israelis are so sick that they will find, and I'm not even joking, folks, this is the Jewish people out there. And if any Jew wants to whine to me about this, go again, go choke on a gefilte fish, dude, because you know it's true. They will find the most promising football players inside of Palestine, and they will shoot them in the foot. Not once, not twice, not three times, five, six, seven times, just to make sure that they basically blow the foot off of these people. Is this who we want to allow within our sporting events? These types of people? These aren't sporting people. These are cruel, sadistic psychopaths. Every bit as a pedophile that you might find out there for all of you into this pedophile thing right now. Don't worry, the government's on it. I'm not worrying about it right now. It's shameful to watch the Israelis complain and whine about this. Absolutely shameful. This is in Malaysia. Go pound some stuffing and choke on a gefilte fish. Seriously, guys. Too bad. Too bad. The world does not revolve around Jews, although they like to believe it does. And the world does not revolve around Israel. Now, it said here that Israel condemns the decision. Well, boo-hoo, dudes. We don't care. Condemn it all you want. It's your right. But we don't care. And guess what? We have a right to not care. And that's the key point here, that all of you who really believe in your own freedoms, in your own values, in your own peace of mind, in your own state of existence here, it's incumbent upon you to respect decisions, and that's your own. If you say it doesn't matter, guess what? It doesn't matter then. If you want to buck the trend and say to the Israelis, pound some fish, go choke on a gefilte, it's your right to tell them that. And if they want to cry and whine to you about how it's anti-Semitic, who cares? That's the key point that everyone has to remember here. You have to get to the point that you stop, what's the term? You stop reacting. You stop feeling coward by being called a name. That entire name they are trying to weaponize against you, and it is time you neutralize these words. It's very important that it gets neutralized. Now, Mahathir, he's the leader, prime minister of Malaysia. He's 93, actually. He has for decades been accused of anti-Semitism. Well, again, that just shows you the rabid, insane, vindictive nature of the Jewish people then, doesn't it? You've been doing this for decades? Really? You guys just don't shut up for decades? Decades. Do you know how much a decade is? That's 10 years. So if it's decades with an S, guess what? It's at least 20. And at 93, maybe it's 30 years, 40 years. He described Jews as hook-nosed. Okay, so what? That's his right. And some people actually agree with him. And that's his right, too, and that's their right. It doesn't mean it's true, right? But if they're hook-nosed, they're hook-nosed. What do you do? The fact is, the archetype exists through time and through history. It's not our fault that this archetype exists, but it's not for Jews to tell us how we can and can't speak and how we can and can't think. Because once you get to that, guess what? It's not your country. It's not your right. It's not your civilization anymore. It's theirs. The moment you allow them to dictate every single right of your speech, you lose all your rights to even your own franchise, your own sovereign state. The International Paralympic Committee said in a statement that it was bitterly disappointed at the stance of the Malaysian government. But why? You don't even have diplomatic relations. You should never have put it there. It should never have been put there. Seriously. Now, quite frankly, if everybody changes it, every single country should boycott everywhere that the Israelis go. Just don't go. That's what you should do. Fine. If the Paralympics want to try to move this to appease a sadistic society like the Israeli state, okay, then every other country should say, okay, we don't care. We'll just run our own Olympics. We don't want to be a part of the Paralympics anymore because you're basically Jewish run. Our world doesn't revolve around Jews. Hello. And leave it at that. Be strong about what you're saying. Malaysian Foreign Minister Saifuddin Let me try to say that again. Saifuddin. I think it's Saifuddin Abdullah. I think I said that one right. I'm kind of getting used to this Arabic stuff. It's kind of right. Said on Wednesday that Malaysia would continue to take a strong position on the plight of the Palestinians. It is about fighting on behalf of the oppressed. Well, okay, that sounds nice. It sounds nice, but the fact is you're better off not letting Jews in your country. Look at what happened to us on 9/11. Israeli athletes have been banned in the past by countries that do not recognize Israel. That's absolutely expected. It is not a big deal, guys. Don't make it out to be such, oh, my goodness, oh, my gosh. No, don't. But guys, that's the way it works in the real world. Just leave it. They have also competed at events in Arab countries without national symbols. Okay, that's good. Fine, if you want to allow that. Typically under the flag of the sports federation running the event, I would just kept them out. Last year, Israeli athletes participated in a judo competition in Abu Dhabi under their own flag for the first time. Sports Minister Miri Regev wept next to the podium as the Israeli anthem was played. Oh, give me a break. Jeez, you wept. Whiner. I'll tell you. That's, I guess, the Oy Vey moment. Kind of quick. We got Mike King coming up, but that's the Oy Vey moment. Again, proudly sponsored by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. That's right, the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. Currently still, that's right, a new show every day of the year. Man, I don't know how this guy does it, but he does. He does a new show of the every day of the year. It's like, dang, dude, you're like Superman or something. I couldn't do a new day of every day of the year if I tried. I don't have enough guests to do that, and I'd be dead tired doing. I just couldn't do it. I'm just not that strong. I got other work to do. Let's see. You've of course got this Women's March, you know, anti-Semitism is there. The people are bailing because of anti-Semitism there. You're complaining. I swear these guys, they talk about, I swear, pick up a Jewish newspaper, guys, like the Allgemeiner in Germany or Times of Israel, or, you know, I'd like to meet this Mahathir Muhammad. I'd like to meet him. I actually admire anybody that takes a principled stance like this and is not afraid to speak. I like these type of people. I need to go meet that. There's been a French Jewish student vows appeal an anti-Semitic bullying case at top Paris medical school. Again, listen, if you are Jewish and you feel that you are being discriminated or whatever, go home. Go home. Seriously, leave. Get out of the way. That should be the message of nationalists everywhere nowadays. 9/11's a watershed, folks. If you don't understand that the Israeli government and Jewish media is working hand in hand, yeah, there's a lot of traitors out there. But if you don't understand that that's what has been going on, then I can't help you. But you know what? Why should, for those of us who do get it, don't expect them, quite frankly, to bow down to anything at all. It just doesn't make any sense. Israel intelligence infiltrates ISIS in the Sinai. No, you didn't infiltrate them. You are ISIS. I remember doing a show with Henrik, you know, and I had never heard that Israel is secret intelligence service. I actually hadn't heard that yet. It was never played in Jordan, you know. And I remember Henrik telling me about the ISIS, Israeli secret intelligence service. I felt stupid when he said that. I think, damn, Henrik's got me on that one. Going back later, I felt kind of stupid. I hope he's doing well. He's a good guy. They run a good thing over there, quite frankly. What else is news, everybody? I just want to get back to this story real quick about Pelosi. You know, they want to, in the United States, for those of you internationally, but a lot of you listen in the U.S., so here you've got the January 29th State of the Union address. And, of course, what is more important right now to we, the American people, than to have our government sitting in their chairs like good little boys and girls with the president discussing the State of the Union? Listen, they work for us, theoretically. Now, we know that it really doesn't work that way anymore. But theoretically, they work for us. And it's traditional to have that State of the Union address and to watch. They tell me she's Jewish. They tell me she's not Jewish. I thought she was. Maybe she's Catholic. I don't know. But Nancy Pelosi to get up on stage. We're going into a break, everybody. It's The Fetch. Mike King is coming up next. TomatoBubble.com. Back with more right after this. At Revolution.Ready. Now joining us, I believe, from New York. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's from New York. New York, a pretty fun guy, actually. Mike King, he's the curator, author behind the tomatobubble.com. He's a prolific writer, everybody. He's got a couple books out now. He's got The Bad War, The Truth Never Taught About World War II. It's now in its second edition. It's expanded. Post-ban, he calls it, available in paperback or PDF. He's got Planet Rothschild, your crash course PhD in NWO conspiracy studies. And, of course, there's, I'm sure, many more free reports and stuff like that that's available at thetomatobubble.com. But right now he's here. And hi, Mike. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hello, Dennis. Good to be with you. Yes, I'm close to New York City, North Jersey, about 30 minutes away. Close enough to get the stink of the place, but far enough to enjoy some greenery here in North Jersey.
Do you actually have greenery in Jersey? I thought it was like a marshland or something.
Well, actually, there's quite a bit. Like in the, there's a lot of suburbs and nice towns, and there's actually parts of the state where you think you're in America, believe it or not, particularly in the Northwest and the South. So, it has its areas, but of course, no matter where you live in this state, it's heavily Marxified state, one of the highest taxed states in the country. It's rough. Yeah.
How are you guys doing with this storm coming up? You guys kind of hunkering down a bit?
Yeah, I feel the chill in the air. We're getting ready for it. It's the latest case of global warming. We weren't supposed to have snow anymore by this point in history, but
yeah, I thought the polar bears would already be extinct by now. They'd be like relics in some zoo somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, this hoax goes back 40 years. And if you do a little bit of digging, some of the predictions, the prognostications made by these so-called scientists that have never come to fruition, and yet they still continue to peddle it.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, everywhere you turn around, it's global warming. Even today, the politicians are still stuck on it.
Yeah.
And you see what's happened to France pushing this agenda, because it really is, as you know, and I know, and a lot of our listeners know, it's just an income redistribution thing, man. They just want to take everybody else's money.
It's huge. It's really big, because this scam alone in and of itself can bring about one world government quicker and more thoroughly than any of the other previous piecemeal scams they've tried, because in essence this would hand over to an international body the power over economic life and death of nations and private enterprise. They could just say, you know what, you're releasing too much carbon, we're gonna crack down on you. I mean, it's really, you know, it's all, I mean, it's funny when you look at the junk science of it, but it's really dangerous, because we have a whole generation of millennials coming up completely brainwashed the communist school system who believe this stuff. And it really needs to be exposed.
Mike, I'm here in Saudi Arabia, you know, and we bring Americans over because the our contracts demand that we bring Americans. And sometimes we're like, we don't want to, because as you're describing, we get these millennials coming over.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
You can't talk to them. If you mention a little bit sniff that this global warming is a scam, they get offended. They get so irrationally insane. It's like, oh my gosh, I have just opened up a can of worms with a complete moron.
Yeah.
And you can do nothing about it.
And no, it's a big problem, because while we slept, this stuff was being pounded into the minds of grade schoolers like 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They've come of age now. You say, I don't know.
I remember, seriously, my son is a millennial. Okay, Mike, my son's a millennial. Okay. I don't know if you have children.
Yeah, I guess you could call them millennials. They're late 20s.
Yeah, mine too. Mine's late 20s. And I remember him coming home from school talking about a few things. I said, Daniel, look, sit down. And I really said, look, this is the real truth, and this is the truth you're going to have to present in school, because you're going to have to get through this without too much headache. And right. He was smart enough to get it. I was very lucky. He was smart enough to get it.
Well, he's lucky to have you as a dad because, you know, most parents are just simply not equipped, nor do they know. I mean, they're oblivious to what's being taught in the schools today. And, you know, by the time you figure out that your kid has been brainwashed, it's generally too late to deprogram them. It's some scary.
Yeah, how would you, Mike, you have knowledge. How would you talk to a parent, right, that comes home and their children are being forced to read some book about the Holocaust? What would you do?
Well, first thing I would do, I would emphasize to such a parent, you've got to get to them early. I mean, if you can make the economic sacrifice, keep one parent at home and homeschool, that's really the way to go. But if that's not an option for everybody, and if you can't, you've got to get to them early and give them a general sense. You're going to learn a lot of things in school that are false, and you've got to monitor what they teach. I mean, you let them know ahead of time what's coming, and then when the lies come, they'll say, "Hey, Dad, you know what? You were right. They're teaching me this, this, and that." I mean, you've got to get them early because, you know, once it's ingrained in their heads, it'd be very difficult, even for a knowledgeable parent, to get it out of them. And this is why they've been able to succeed. They go after them young. So if you're going to wait until middle school or high school to try to straighten your kid out, it's going to be difficult. I mean, day one, the child has got to know that he's going to be learning lies, and you've got to monitor it. In regards to this, I mean, if you can establish that frame of mind, then you can present the facts about lies like global warming or the Hola hoax or whatever, because then they'll be open to it. But if they're not psychologically open to it, no amount of facts that you present is going to alter their twisted minds. So that's
it. And Mike, we're actually running into a situation now where the millennials, as you said, are coming of age, and we're now going to have to start dealing with the grandkids. And you already know that there's a huge war. Are you? Maybe you don't know. Are you aware of this war on the boomers between millennials and boomers right now? Are you exposed to that at all?
Well, I suspect there's a big divide in the thinking. I do have a general sense of that. I know people personally who can't reason with their kids anymore. So, you know, sure. I mean, I inoculated my boys early, thank God. But a lot of people just crept up on them, and they, you know, it's interesting. My most recent book is it's called Saint Joseph of Wisconsin. It's the real story of Joseph McCarthy, and in that book, I quote. It's a very long excerpt from a booklet that he wrote, and he closes saying the most important thing, and this is in 1952, the parents need to do is to be aware of what's beginning to take place in the school system and get active in your school boards and get these traitors and communists out. And mind you, this is at a time where this is not really visible as it is today, but he saw the roots taking shape back then. And he warned that if we win this battle, we will win the battle for America in the long run. If we lose it, we have no chance. And how prophetic that is, especially to issue such a warning in 1952. Because, you know, the New World Order plays the long game. And they had the foresight to know, you know, if we can't get society now, we'll get the kids in kindergarten and 20 years, 30 years down the road, we got it. And this is something that most people can't relate to, this kind of long-term thinking. But they absolutely knew when they started this that it would take a generation. But that's okay because they've been working at this for centuries, whether they live to see it or not.
Maybe a millennium, huh?
Yeah. In a broader sense, sure. The more modern manifestation of this New World Order, I trace it back to 250 years ago or so, the founding of the Illuminati and so on.
You're talking about the Bavarian Illuminati, correct?
Correct, yeah.
You know, I've got a question for you. You know, a lot of the talk about Trump and Hillary, and we see a lot of dissension or Yeah, I think dissension's the right word. Within the movement about Trump, Trump's a good guy, Trump's a bad guy. We know he's an Israeli guy. I mean, a lot of the nationalists around Europe even are working with the Israelis too, at least the Likudniks. Yeah. But do you find Trump right now working, I guess, to undermine this NWO? Or do you find, like, in your analysis, Trump to be like an agent of the NWO?
No, I believe that there are patriotic elements in the military and even in the intelligence agencies. I mean, this is all split. And I believe these are the folks that approached Trump and asked him to run, and they essentially installed him as president. Or maybe installed is not the correct word. I should say they made sure that he was not cheated out of the election. But I do believe that there is a force behind Trump based in the military, and it's among people who've had enough.
And with Trump shutting down the government, what is the New York? I know you're like the go-to guy on analyzing the New York Times. What's the New York Times saying right now about the government shutdown?
Well, actually, today's piece, I mean, at tomatobubble.com, most of the content is free, but I do offer a daily bulletin, almost daily. It's called the Anti-New York Times, that people can subscribe to for a very small fee. Check it out at tomatobubble.com. But anyway, that was the subject of today's Anti-New York Times piece. I did a rebuttal to a story carried by the New York Slimes, which was an attempt at tear jerking. We're supposed to feel sorry for these 800,000 useless bureaucrats. And that's the spin that the Times put out. And today they even went so far as to say that this is going to have an adverse impact on economic growth, because this is all government spending that's not going to take place. So that was their spin, that this is bad for the national economy, that these people aren't working. And in my rebuttal, I illustrate that this is abject nonsense. It's based on a fallacy that was summed up by a brilliant French economist of the 19th century, Frederick Bastiat, who came up with the broken window fallacy, which basically means, I mean, he makes an analogy between a shopkeeper whose window was broken, and people try to console him by saying, well, look, this is how it creates jobs for the glazers, the guys who repair his window. So it's not so bad. You're going to pay the glazer, and the money circulates, and he makes a living, et cetera, et cetera. But the fallacy is, had the window not been broken, the shopkeeper could have bought a new pair of shoes with that money. So now society is actually poorer because, he didn't have the money. You had this this window that was destroyed and had to be replaced. So it's a fallacy. When you hear these crackpot economists claim that government spending is good for the economy, and if you curtail government spending, it's therefore bad for the economy. But what they fail to understand is if you cut government spending, that just means that money, that investment, that capital is going to transfer from the public sector to the private sector, which is productive and more efficient than the government, as we all know. So it is a fallacy to suggest that any curtailment of government spending harms the economy. To the contrary, as the government shrinks, the private sector grows. As the government grows, the private sector shrinks. It's very basic. And yet, here you have these so-called Ivy League educated economists still spouting this nonsense about it's dangerous to cut government spending because there's economic growth linked to it. And it's just amazing to see the miseducation that's going on in our nation's business schools that put out all these fake economists. But anyway, that was the New York Times spin, and that was the essence of my rebuttal to it.
You know, I heard something yesterday, Mike, that was really interesting, and that was from a pro-Trump supporter. It was kind of in an obscure conservative magazine or really e-zine. And they said, Look, the truth of what's going on in America today with these 800,000 employees is there's about 15% of us that actually believe in what Trump is doing. The other 85% or at least a healthy percentage of that 85% is undermining, sabotaging Trump. And we who are the 15% are working hard to sabotage the sabotage.
Yeah, you know, I've heard this theory, and it's very plausible. I think the only way that we'll know for sure if this is what Trump is intending is to see what happens with these employees. Because historically, what happens is after these shutdowns end, they get full back pay, 100%. So in essence, we've given them a long extended vacation, which is nonsense. We don't get that in the private sector. So I would love to see a massive culling of the federal workforce, see these employees let go, or at least if we're going to retain them, maybe a skeleton crew of the ones that do all the work anyway. Because it's probably, like you said, it's the tried and true 80-20 rule applies, seems to apply in everything. I figure 20% of the federal workers are doing all the work, and the other 80% are just sitting on their ass collecting a check. And if you've ever had to deal with federal government, whether it's unemployment office or Social Security office or immigration, you know, you'll know what I mean, how bad these people are. So let's hope that we see, you know, maybe 500 or 600,000 of these parasites permanently let go. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the news coming out from the airports, but it's like the TSA now has become friendly because they're not getting paid, so they don't care anymore. So they're actually becoming manageable. It's like, hey, what happened with the TSA? Trump's doing a great job here. They're actually personable, which is kind of a humorous aside there, because they're actually starting to behave like human beings instead of idiots like we usually have them.
Yeah,
Roy Cohen, he's, I think, what, the former lawyer for Trump, right?
Michael Cohen, yeah. Roy Cohen was Joe McCarthy's sidekick and an advisor to Donald Trump in later years.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Because someone's actually asking about that. Please ask your guest, I didn't know this, so you can fill me in too, about Roy Cohen, Trump, and Joe McCarthy. What's the story behind that?
Well, it's a very interesting connection. Roy Cohen was Joe McCarthy's his right-hand man, his top legal guy. He was very young at the time. He was in his maybe early 30s, a young hotshot attorney. And, as McCarthy's sidekick, of course, that earned him the enmity of the left-wing establishment. Yet, throughout his life, and despite the fact that he's a New York Jewish closeted homosexual, got to give one thing to Roy Cohn. He never backed down. He never apologized. And he always stuck up for McCarthy all the way until his death. Roy Cohn died, I guess it was about 1990-ish, give or take or so. So he was hardcore. You know, he was anti-communist. He was also like anti-homosexuals in the government. So it's like he had this proclivity, but at the same time, it's not something he was crazy about, you know. But yeah, he was, he stayed true to McCarthy the whole time. Even after McCarthy's name was destroyed by history, Roy Cohn never backed down. And during the 70s and 80s, he was attorney, very close advisor and mentor to Donald Trump. So, I'm sure Trump knows the deal about the true story of Joe McCarthy, because McCarthy did battle with the same deep state, which is now trying to destroy Donald Trump. So this is a connection that has been made in the media that, Trump having been connected to Roy Cohn is something that we should all, be worried about. There's another interesting connection, too, to military intelligence is from Donald Trump's uncle, John Trump, who he was very close to. When the legendary Nikola Tesla died in 1945, the military intelligence brought in John Trump, who was one of the nation's preeminent electrical engineers and physicists from MIT. He was a brilliant man. And they brought him in to review Tesla's papers. to see if there are any military applications. They didn't want it falling into the wrong hands. And, of course, at the same time, they wanted to develop whatever they could as well. So there's a direct connection there from Joe McCarthy to Donald Trump and from military intelligence to Donald Trump. And military intelligence, for the most part, they're the good guys. I mean, these were the people who spied on all the communists during the Roosevelt era. You've heard about the Venona intercepts, I'm sure. This was military intelligence. So they're very powerful, and it is a known fact that for a long time, military intelligence and the CIA have been kind of at war with each other. They're like rivals. So it's almost like the good guys and the bad guys, the good spooks and the bad spooks. But you have these connections with Trump going back to that. So whether it's military intelligence or Joseph McCarthy, you see the same struggle playing out over the decades. It's patriots versus deep state globalists.
How much of this deep state is you believe is penetrated into our military operations, not intel, but operations, like what's going on in Syria, Afghanistan?
Right. Well, it's hard to say as far as a percentage, but in all the agencies, whether it's military intelligence, CIA, FBI, there's a line. These bad guys are in all the agencies. Now, ones like the CIA, they're very rotted. I mean, there's patriots in the CIA, but overall, it's a very heavily infested agency. And then you look at NSA, it's kind of the opposite. In my view, it's mostly patriots, but I'm sure there's traitors in there, too. But in the military, to your question, I think they're mostly patriotic at the top levels. But then again, you know, you're always going to have your rats, political generals, the Colin Powells of this world.
Mike, we're going into a break right now. It's The Fetch with Mike King, TomatoBubble.com, and back with more right after this.
Listener-supported radio, and now we return you to
the author of the TomatoBubble.com. Really, this is the guy behind the TomatoBubble.com, a more humorous look at some of the contemporary headlines and analysis of news, really from the New York slimes, as he calls it, and, of course, the author of a couple books. Mike, go ahead and give your couple of books and how they can reach out and get your books, if you don't mind.
All right. There's actually about 20 of them, but that's close. Well,
okay. Yeah, go ahead. How can they get your stuff, man? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, go to tomatobubble.com and you'll see links to my books. There's links that go straight to Amazon. You can see the Amazon author page, which is under MS King. So at that author page, you can get all my books. If you go through my website, you could also get them all in PDF format. At tomatobubble.com. The most, I guess you could say, my flagship work is The Bad War, the truth about World War II that you were never taught. And, you know, that's the one that created such a stink that Amazon banned it after 2 years of strong sales. But it's still available at tomatobubble.com. But then there's just so many I've written. Basically, it's the theme of all my books is to clarify mythologies and lies about things we were taught. So I've got a book on Andrew Jackson, The Real Truth About Andrew Jackson, Joe McCarthy. There's the Planet Rothschild series. I have a book totally debunking the global warming climate change hoax. That's called Climate Boogeyman. We can see it all at tomatobubble.com. Definitely want to bookmark it. And I would invite your listeners to go to the website and they can request a free report, which will also put them on the mailing list. And the title of the report is How to Respond to an Anti-Conspiracy Theorist. And it just takes all of the objections that you hear from people about, this could never happen, it would take too many people or whatever. And it just rebuts them in a very easy format. So that's a free report. But that's it. Definitely just bookmark the website, get on the mailing list, and have a look at the books, tomatobubble.com.
Very good. I don't know if you heard the story the other day, but it came out that Trump was working for Putin. Did you hear those stories?
Oh, wow. Yeah, we've been hearing that for 2 years now.
I mean, no, this is literally, he's literally taking orders from the Kremlin.
He's taking orders. Well, you know what? What's ironic is the forces behind Trump and the forces behind Putin have been and still are, quote unquote, colluding. But it's not to rig elections or anything like that. They're colluding for world peace. And you see this on display in Syria. If that communist hag, Hillary Clinton, had been elected president, I can assure you right now we would either be at war or in a very dangerous position on the brink of war with Russia. The so-called civil war, which is not a civil war, it's a proxy war, would still be raging. ISIS, which is funded and organized by the CIA and the Mossad and the British intelligence, they would be very strong instead of being on the brink of destruction. And the reason it's not that way is because of the cooperation behind the scenes between Putin and Trump. So they're colluding for the good. They're colluding for world peace. And that war in Syria, ISIS has been destroyed because the Russians bombed the crap out of them from the air. Meanwhile, Trump signed an order his fourth or fifth month in office, which cut off all CIA funding to the so-called rebels. So that was the devastating 1-2 punch that ended, for the most part, the so-called Syrian civil war.
You know what I heard? When I was in Jordan, I met with some of the people close to Jordanian military. And they said, Dennis, what your military is doing right now is you're basically flying sorties and you're dropping ordnance. Literally.
Yeah. Well, that was the essence of the scam under Obama and Kerry, was to pretend we were going there to fight ISIS. And you know, all those fake beheadings, those comical beheadings where the guys in black pajamas pretend to cut off the heads of, you know, some journalist in an orange jumpsuit. That was meant to serve as a pretext for us to go over there to, quote unquote, fight ISIS. But that's the trick. That was the bunk. The real reason they began sending troops over there, American troops, was the long-term goal was to finish the job of overthrowing Assad. And it was very, very dangerous because, you know, with the Russians deployed in the area, it would have been very easy for the U.S. and Russia to come to blows. Indeed, the communist hag that I call Hillary Clinton, she said multiple times, if I'm elected, I'm going to declare a no-fly zone. And any Russians that fly over this no-fly zone, you know, we're going to shoot them out of the sky. I mean, how would that have been? Yeah. So, but yeah, that was the whole scam. We're not over there to stop big bad ISIS. To the contrary, and this is a known fact. It was the CIA that funded ISIS. Now, they don't use the term ISIS. They say we funded the moderate rebels. But as Putin once said, he wants to ask rhetorically and sardonically, he says we're still not sure how one distinguishes between a moderate terrorist and an immoderate terrorist. That's exactly what it was. I mean, that was a proxy army, and all those people died, all that destruction. And the only difference between Obama and Bush is Bush sent proper armies over there to do the job and to bomb and kill and destroy. But the Obama team did it on the down low. They used front men, mercenaries. Same result.
Yes. Trying to see. Got a little bit of feedback here on my side, Mike. Going back to the states here, the U.S. government shutdown. We talked a little bit about that shutdown, but I'm hearing things about the wall. You know, another thing I've been hearing about this wall, build the wall, build the wall, inside of our movement, you know, even inside the perhaps what is now the fake nationalist movement, we might start calling it equally, the fake people out there. But, you know, I'm border security. People just don't seem to get it in America, do they, Mike? There's a huge audience that just doesn't understand border security and national sovereignty.
Well, you know, most people lack imagination, and until that they are the victim of a crime, they don't see it as a problem. Or they also can't, it just doesn't connect in their head that this is a tremendous tax burden. I mean, I talked earlier about how expensive it is here in New Jersey, the property taxes. Well, there's a large number of illegals, and they send their kids to the schools. And in New Jersey, it's $20,000 a pop per pupil to, quote unquote, educate a child. I mean, it shouldn't be that high. But think about it. If you have all these, if you've got hundreds of thousands of kids who are here illegally, that is an enormous burden. And they're not, their families aren't really contributing to the tax base. So it's an enormous financial burden that manifests itself in high taxes. And it's just amazing, Dennis, you talk to anybody in these blue states where the bulk of these illegals end up in, whether it's New York or New Jersey or California and so on. The number one complaint of people is the taxes, okay? But yet they can't put the 2 + 2 together and get 4 and see the direct connection between the alien invasion and the economic costs of the schooling and the health care. I had to go to the emergency room a few months ago with a kidney stone attack. They couldn't even put me in a room. I had to stay out in the hallway. It's so crowded in there, and I see so many foreigners. They go in there with the sniffles. They go to the emergency room. So this is a huge burden. But that's the disconnect, because people lack imagination, and they just can't put the two and two together. They will complain about high taxes and then think that illegal immigration isn't at that much of a big deal. And then ultimately they'll pack up and move to a red state in the South or Midwest, and then they'll keep voting for Democrats too. So that's the problem. People don't think. And then, of course, the other negative adverse side effect of this is we know millions of these alien invaders are voting, and they're voting for left-wing Democrat politicians. I mean, California, the most opportunity-rich state in the country like 30 years ago. I mean, this is a state that elected Ronald Reagan governor, voted for him as president twice. I mean, you can't get a Republican elected as a dog catcher in California now. Why is that? The illegal invasion. Mm-hmm. They're voting. Let's not kid ourselves. They are voting in huge numbers. There's massive fraud taking place. This is a big problem. And then, of course, there's the drugs, the child trafficking, the kids being brought in. They do child porn on these kids. They murder them. I mean, it's just a horrible, horrible situation.
I've been amazed. It's so much common sense, Mike, that we need to really put in some type of border security. I live in Saudi Arabia. I know how they do it. I live in Jordan. I see how they do it. And I am honestly, Mike, I'm amazed at how stupid the American people are taking the security of their own sovereign state compared to what's going on overseas. They have no idea, Mike. They're just giving away their country, and they don't even know it.
Yeah.
And they don't even seem to care. That's the frustrating part. These leftist nutcases don't care.
Now they don't. That's a problem. But I mean, we know what the left is. But even more troubling is the people who aren't left wing crazies and who generally would be maybe in agreement that we should secure the borders. They just don't have enough passion, about it. They're a little bit too morally neutral. I mean, this should be the type of issue where any politician, regardless of his party, who did not support the border security, he should be finished. Yet, he's not. And, it's just like the public has lost their capacity for moral indignation. Okay? And again, I'm not talking about the commies and the libtards. We know what they are. Just your average, seemingly normal person who knows these things are wrong, but doesn't get agitated about it. Doesn't get passionate about it. Yeah, I think isn't there a verse in the New Testament about you are neither hot or cold, you're lukewarm. I got no use for you. You ever hear that?
Well, I'm
paraphrasing. But the whole point is, it's not enough just to be in favor of what is right. You got to have a little passion. If you can't get indignant and angry, you know, you're really not that moral of a person after all.
You know, hey, Mike, instead of funding all these trips to Israel, maybe we should start funding trips to the Yellow Vest movement in France for patriots.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it would be wonderful to see the European Union project go under. That would be a devastating blow to the globalist empire. Because, you know, that is why those horrific bloodbaths of World War One and World War Two, which would be better described as World War Part One and World War Part Two, because it was essentially the same teams and the same motives.
Yeah. I got a question for you regarding World War II. You're, to me, one of the more expert real commentary out there that I respect anyways. And when I hear people talk about Adolf Hitler and the National Socialists were agents of Jewish global power, how do you refute stuff like that?
Yeah, well, first, I mean, it's nonsense. But we have to understand where it's coming from. I am convinced that this is part of an effort to poison the World War II truther movement. So it's a way. They're not going to convince us that World War II was a good thing. So they have to like at least get us away from thinking about National Socialism and Hitler. Now I did a lengthy piece on this at tomatobubble.com. You could Google it, put tomato bubble, Hitler was not a Rothschild agent, and it will come up. And I go through all of the arguments, and I essentially offer a $500 reward. I offer three $500 rewards. The first one is a $500 reward for the first person who could cite definitive documentation proving that Hitler was part Jewish. This is one of the claims that comes up. So far, nobody has taken me up on it. Okay, people will just read things, but you have to look at original source information. There is no original source information. I offer another one. Tomato Bubble will pay a $500 reward. First person who can cite definitive documentation of Rothschild or Rockefeller money transfers to the German National Socialist Workers' Party during the 20s and 30s. And nobody's claimed
you
that
would
either.
Think that would be easy, Mike.
Yeah, it would be easy. The best anyone's ever come up with is there were some Jewish businessmen who made some donations, but that's probably just, you know, they always do that because they try to get their foot into every movement. But the reality is the funding of the National Socialists was self-funded. You had millions of veterans who were disgruntled for World War One. You had Russian emigres who fled the Bolshevik horror show in the Soviet Union and came to Germany. A lot of them had big money. And then you had the wealthy industrialists, the big businessmen in Germany who were fearful of communists. So, they didn't need any money from the Rothschilds, and there's no evidence of it. What we do have evidence of is that he threw a prominent member of the Rothschild family in Austria, Hitler had him arrested. I've got the headlines right here in that piece. Quote, Nazi sees banker's fortune. Another article, Hitler arrests Baron Luis de Rothschild. Another article, Nazis free Rothschild, sees his bank. These are actual newspaper articles from the 40s. So if he's in league with the rest Rothschilds, they made an actually good show of it, you know. So, you know, that's that. And then the other argument is, oh, why didn't he finish off the British? He must have been working for the British. Okay? And the reason why is after they forced the British off the continent at Dunkirk, he truly felt that he could have made peace with Britain and ended the war at that point. And indeed, there were people in Churchill's own war cabinet who said, you know what, let's see if we could talk. And Churchill complained to Joe Kennedy about it. He said, there's a peace movement has now infected my own war cabinet. So you had people in British very high up wanted to stop before the war really got going. you know, and this is why Hitler did not, and his gesture at Dunkirk was to, you know, let the British escape with their dignity intact and then negotiate a peace. But, you know, these crackpots, they spin that to somehow, oh, see, he was an agent. He could have finished them off, but he didn't. But it's just utter nonsense. There's nothing there. You know, people pick up on this claim and they repeat it. And they say, yeah, well, look how it ended. Germany ended destroyed. So the Rothschilds got their way. Okay. Well, it ended up, of course it ended up that way, but that was imposed upon, you know, Germany. To second guess Hitler's decisions is, I mean, that's Monday morning quarterbacking, because you can look back and say, well, they should have done this in Stalingrad, or they should have done this in Dunkirk. You know what, Dennis? That war was over before it even started. Or I should say that war was over when at Pearl Harbor. Once the United States got involved, it's game over. Okay? You had the industrial might of the United States was equipping the massive Soviet army. And then you had the United States opening up a second front in Africa and then a third front in Western Europe. You know, Germany is just a small country. They're up against three superpowers in Britain, Soviet Union, and the United States. And they gave them hell for years. But ultimately, how are they going to win? They had no shot. That's why Germany won. They never had a shot. And even if, you know, Hitler had made other decisions, the best they could have done is inflicted more casualties and prolonged the war for another year or two. But there's simply no stopping the combined might of the United States and the Soviet Union in a two-front war.
Mike, are you staying up with the way in which Jewish power right now is imposing history on Europe and now trying to move that into America?
Yeah, well, it's been going on for a long time in Europe. I mean, in Europe, if you have the wrong thoughts, they'll put you in the slammer, literally. Now it's coming to America. You know, they're not arresting people, but what they're doing is through the tech giants, they are censoring big time. This is Amazon, it's PayPal, it's Facebook, and on, they are censoring big time. And you know, to anyone who makes the argument, well, we don't like it, but it is a private entity and you can't regulate, I don't agree with that, because at some point you get so big that you're private in name only, but you really are a public, you know, entity, and you are a threat to free speech. So I don't buy into these absolutist arguments. Like, I mean, I'm a big Second Amendment guy. Absolutely. I think the NRA is too soft, you know. Yet, can you imagine? I mean, would we allow someone like Jeff Bezos, who has the money to do it, to raise an army of 100,000 men with fully automatic machine guns and tanks and fighter jets and grenade launcher? I mean, why? He could threaten the government of entire states. I mean, we would not allow that to happen. And by the same token, these tech giants have gotten so big now that they can, in collusion with the major networks, they are suppressing free speech. And it's a violation of the spirit of the First Amendment.
Well, aren't they? Yeah, and aren't they equally suppressing really interstate trade by cutting off your ability to do business, like through PayPal and other issues? Sure, we have an interstate trade issue now, where they're just impinging on interstate trade. That internet isn't delivered free. You know what I mean? That's going over our public switch telephone networks at the end of the day. So who are they to tell us what we can do over our network?
Yeah. Now there should be no political censorship. You know, they are, in essence, using public airwaves and public internet communication. So that's, you know, it's a big problem. But this is how they're circumventing the First Amendment, through the major TV networks and now through the big tech giants of the internet.
Have we been ignoring that in our own realm?
Yeah, well, it just kind of snuck up on it. I mean, it really only started about, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. They really, you know, I don't think it's not something people anticipated, because in the early days of Amazon and PayPal, Facebook and Twitter, you could pretty much anything goes, you know. So when this started, it took a lot of people by surprise, but something's got to be done. I don't know what. Some type of class action suits. I mean, Trump has talked about this, but let's see if he follows through.
Yeah. How about the State of the Union address? You looking forward to seeing Trump get in front of our entire government and say, okay, here's what's up with our government. We're out of business. We don't have money. And I think you're all fired. Now go home.
Yeah, I would love to see it. Yeah, but I understand Nancy saying we're not going to let you have this address. And today, he just, an hour before they were due to leave for Europe, Pelosi and a bunch of Democrats, Trump canceled their trip because it was
on a couple of planes.
Yeah.
So yeah, Nancy, no problem. You can go, but you need to fly commercial, babe. Sorry about that. You're not using my planes. Go get a commercial jetliner and go.
Well, welcome. You know, it's refreshing to finally see someone fight. You know, I refer to Republicans as Republicans because they can't fight. Now you have someone who's a fighter. It's refreshing to see, but you know, he's up against so much, the combined power of the press and the big tech giants, academia, you know. I don't know.
I know you, Mike, you curate and you go through the news. It is absolutely almost depressing at times to see the headlines because, you know, all you do is first you go to the headlines to see if you want to read what's behind it.
Yeah.
And the headlines are so anti-Trump right now, it's almost as if they want the guy dead, you know. But it's just really amazing. You know, I'm here and looking at the headlines, and I just can't find but what, 3 out of 20 positive.
It's never been this bad before. And you know, it's interesting. I subscribe to a service that gives me access to every issue of the New York Slimes dating back to 1900. I do a lot of great research going through those pages, all posted online. And what's interesting, Dennis, is if you go back, the paper has always been biased, always been globalist, always been Zionist. It's always been an enemy of the American people. Nonetheless, if you go through the pages of the 20s, the 30s, the 1940s, the 50s, the 60s, even up until the 70s or 80s, you have to, like, study it to see the bias. It's very subtle. But today, it's
rapid, quick.
Face. Yeah, it is in your face today.
You know what, Mike? How about you come back? That's a great little weekday segment.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a pleasure.
Very good. Everybody, Mike King, Tomato Bubble, check out InsideTheEyeLive.com. We'll get that all posted. Mike, thanks a lot. We're done with the show, man. That hour flew by.
It sure did. Till we meet again.
All right. Thanks again, everybody. Thanks, Mike. Take care, everybody. Good night from Saudi. See you all Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. Good night, everybody.